Today's episode is brought to you by Audible. Highly successful and efficient people all have one thing in common. They all read, or at least listen. Now listeners of the show can get a free audiobook when you sign up for a free 30-day trial of Audible. You can keep the book even if you decide to cancel. Go to audible.blueboxdigital.com to sign up today. And now, on with the show. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Think Outside the Blue Box. I'm Anthony Rivera. I'm the lead videographer and editor here at Blue Box Digital, and welcome to the podcast. This is a podcast of creative journeys, entrepreneurs, the hustlers, the people who are out there making their dreams a reality. And today I have the host of the Graham Radio podcast.
Hustle. I like that you use the word hustlers.
Yeah.
Because I definitely consider myself to be a hustler.
Hell yeah, we both are, man.
Yeah. Oh my god. So I for the listeners, I have a podcast. I am Graham Radio. That's not the podcast name. That's very confusing that I just said that. The podcast is the Graham Radio podcast. My name is Graham. My full name is Levi Graham Weinstein. I'm a very hardcore and aggressive attorney, and I love music and have a great podcast about music.
About artists.
Yeah. The whole mission statement of the podcast is humanize artists. That's it. Because when an artist puts something on a streaming platform, that is their artist persona.
That's it. Yeah.
That's not it. Because the Graham Radio podcast exists.
Right.
They come on my podcast and we just talk and have fun. Today I had Matt Holt on the podcast.
Nice.
And we recorded for, I don't know, like an hour 15. He was there for 2 hours.
Awesome.
And because, like, you know, there's a lot of off podcast stuff that happens.
Yeah.
So we just hang out and shit. And it's like maybe, I don't know, 15% of the podcast we're talking about music. Like, for most of the podcast, we were just...
This is bullshit.
Well, it's bullshitting, but it's really, really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, we were talking about how... do you use dating apps? Have you ever used, like Tinder or Hinge or whatever?
Yeah.
It would be funny if there was a dating app that was... It, like, mimicked Indeed, where you had to like throw up a cover letter and a resume.
Nice.
And then
you have to actually apply for it.
Yeah, you know what we didn't discuss though, and that I'm thinking about it now, who would be the one doing the interview and doing the
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Well, I guess it would just be different. It would be like asking out for a date, because if I just put my resume and also just things about me, like, I like a lot of alone time, but I also like to be in a relationship.
Yeah.
So, you know, yin yang.
You got to find a balance. Yeah.
Got to find a balance. Because, you know, like, the one thing that a single human being can't do is provide affection to himself, which is a need in your brain.
Biologically, we need that.
Yeah, of course. It's an important thing. It's a need. Now, I also like alone time is the thing. I like to spend time by myself, chilling. It's just, that's just who I am.
Yeah.
But I mean,
solitude.
Yes. What's that Warren Zevon line? Splendid isolation.
Nice. Yes. I like that.
Splendid isolation.
I like that.
Yes.
Sometimes you need that though. You kind of decompress and just kind of be with your own thoughts, you know?
Just clean your apartment, man.
That's it.
Just clean your apartment.
That's it.
Yeah, that's the thing. You just spend time alone and you get on your hands and your knees with some wet wipes.
Nice.
And you just clean that apartment.
That's your therapy?
It's definitely it's a form of my... I definitely.
Nice.
Oh, it is nice. I just throw on a pot. I throw on a podcast. I'll throw on a crime podcast, Morbid. I love listening to Morbid. It's so good. And I'll just throw that on and just listen about how John Wayne Gacy killed like 10,000 people
while
I'm just cleaning my fridge. Yeah.
Those murder podcasts.
I know.
Murder mystery podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you into any podcasts or no?
I listen to a lot of podcasts, but it's mostly about like business and you know,
like what?
God, what was the name of that one that I was listening to the other day?
What have you learned from them? Do you listen to Gary Vee at all?
I do.
Oh my god, amazing.
Yes, that's one of my favorite.
He's so inspiring. He's so good at inspiring.
It's
awesome.
It's what he's made for.
It really
is. What he's made to do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. just his energy, his persona, the way he's so genuine too. Like, you can tell that's him.
Yeah.
That's really him.
He works his ass off, which takes me back to what I was saying, which is I'm a hustler.
The hustler.
Yeah. Yeah. Damn. If we were on my podcast right now, I would hit the pew, pew, pew button. Yeah. Yeah. Do you know what a Rodecaster Pro is?
Yeah.
have a Rodecaster Pro. Excuse me. Oh, by the way, for the listeners and for the watchers, I brought my mail.
We're going to do some unboxing. Some mail.
I brought mail. We're going to be doing unboxing. I know what's in these, but you don't.
That's going to be interesting.
Yeah. You know what? Let's open the first one now.
Let's see what you got. Is this stuff that people send you?
No. Well, it's technically stuff that my great uncle sends me.
Okay.
My grandma's brother.
Gotcha.
So he's very, very proud of me for passing the bar, being an attorney, doing my thing, getting another job. And he has an astronomical amount of ties. And over the last month, he sent me about maybe 40 ties.
Wow.
A lot of them are really, really cool.
Nice.
One of them was Gucci.
Wow.
Two of them were Jerry Garcia ties. And I'm a huge Deadhead.
Nice.
So that's cool.
That's cool. So he just sends you ties.
He sends me ties. Yeah. And like on my way here, I stopped at my mailbox to see if I got any ties. And I have some ties. So that's cool.
That's awesome.
Okay.
Man.
I don't want to damage it. So,
all right, so you said you passed the bar, so you're a lawyer.
I am a member of the Florida Bar Association. Nice. I am a lawyer.
Congratulations,
thank you
man.
So much. Huh. Whoa. I actually really like this pattern.
Nice. I like that.
Right?
That's cool.
That's cool. I mean, should I put it on?
What do it. Just, do it. Make it happen.
Yeah. Why not?
Looks like you're going to court after this.
This is a very like, because it doesn't match at all. And a lot of people who go to court, a lot of them, you know, they do their best to dress nice. But I mean, just a lot of people in general don't need to wear a tie every day.
Nice.
So like a suit and tie every day. So a lot of people just don't have like, you know, the best looking button down and suit and tie like I do. But I could totally see someone wearing this to court.
That's cool.
Let's tie this up. For the watchers of the podcast, this is how you tie a tie.
He's tying the tie right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're video on YouTube and on Spotify.
Cool. Yeah. Cool.
And then we're audio everywhere.
Yeah, I saw that the video of this podcast is on Spotify.
Yeah.
They
just started doing that too.
Is that only through Anchor or can you use? Okay.
It's only through Anchor started doing it to certain podcasts. It's not open to everybody just yet. So it's a very few select podcasts.
Why is it so selected? Like, what's the selection process?
I think they reach out to me, so I don't know what their
process
is.
Okay, you use Anchor, right?
I do, yeah.
Okay, so yeah. I don't use Anchor, but I think that I need to because, like, this is like the last straw.
Yeah,
it's like if they're like Anchor's cool.
I love
Anchor's
Anchor.
Cool, and they have a bunch of cool features. But I've always been very like anti-Anchor, just because I feel like for some reason I have more control if I'm not on Anchor.
Yeah.
But with Anchor, you can get it on. You can put it on other. Can you put it on Apple?
Yep.
Okay. Yep. So I got you know what? This is a Think Outside the Blue Box exclusive.
Hey, you heard it here
Anchor,
first.
Anchor, I'm coming for you. Yeah. How do I look? Do I look good?
I look great, man. Look fantastic.
That's cool. Yeah, well, so I am an attorney. I am an attorney, and I'm a DJ, and I podcast. And
jack of all trades.
God, man. Thank you, Uncle Irving. This is a great tie. I love it.
That's fantastic,
Uncle Irving. I love you. Please keep sending me ties.
Is that another tie?
I will continue wearing them. This is another tie.
Okay.
But we're gonna
save that.
We're gonna ride out on this one for a little while, and later in the podcast, I'll open this one.
So stay tuned.
Yeah, stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to see the other tie,
my second tie.
Yeah, yeah.
What made you go into being a lawyer, man? Is that like a family thing or is that...
Well, you said what means to... What?
What made you go into...
Oh, what made me go into it?
Into law.
You know what, dude? There's a lot of answers I can give to that. A lot of truthful, good, solid answers. Because there's a lot of reasons to become an attorney. I've always considered myself to be a really smart guy. I'm an intellectual. And I like to solve people's problems. I've always been good at it. If someone has an issue, I'm a very objective person and can kind of analyze an issue. And now here's the real reason. When I was in college, a lot of people were being asked, what are you doing after college? What are you doing after college? And as a freshman, sophomore, I was in a fraternity, and I would see these older brothers, and just say, oh, well, I'm going to New York. And then that would be followed up by, well, what are you going to do in New York? Mm-hmm. Or I'm going to be on Wall Street. And then, you know, cool. I don't exactly know. Oh, blah, blah, blah.
That's a common one.
And then I kind of realized, if you say, I'm going to be a lawyer, end of conversation.
That's it.
End of conversation. You are now cool, and people think that you're smart.
You don't have to explain it.
Yeah, no follow-up. No, we're good. Follow-up. Yeah. I get it. I get it now. And being a lawyer was always something that I considered doing. As a Jewish man, I have a lot of pressure from my mother to be a lawyer. So it was always, like, you know, a pretty cool and acceptable job. <Yeah. laughs> But in all reality, that's all true. And it's just like, I love the power to like be able to like do cool shit.
Yeah.
Like, this is such a small thing, but I can tie shoes faster than anyone in the world.
No way.
Yeah. And it's like, I loved showing people that. And I love just like being able to do that. When I was in college, I was the philanthropy chair. Nice. for my fraternity, for Phi Tau. And as the philanthropy chair, you know, obviously, what does that mean? That means that you have to run the philanthropy. It means that you have to figure out some way that you're going to raise money for charity. Now, for about 10 years, the philanthropy event that Phi Tau did was this shit ball dance. It was called Dancing with the Greeks. Nobody wanted to do it. It was dumb. It was literally, God. And speaking of dumb, I just realized, like, Uncle Irving, I love you, but I'm taking off the tie. I've been in this tie enough. Anyway, thank you, Uncle Irving. So, I was the philanthropy chair for my fraternity, and for years they did this garbage philanthropy called Dancing with the Greeks. This is what it was. Okay, you take the dudes in a fraternity, in your fraternity, and everyone has to find a date, which, you know, not a problem. And now the problem and the issue presents itself when you and your date need to develop a choreographed dance. Ooh. To a song.
Oh, yeah.
And dance in front of your entire fraternity and all of their sorority sisters. Now, I have no, it's a lot of pressure, but you know, one thing that I think about a lot when it comes to time management, cause you know, lawyer, podcaster, DJ dude, my time is valuable as fuck.
Yeah.
Opportunity cost is something that I think about a lot. And the opportunity cost of doing all of that stupid bullshit, finding a date to come up with a choreographed dance, or literally anything else, aka what I came up with, which is called the Phi Tau Olympics.
Oh boy,
this sucks.
It's night and day.
Don't do this. So I became the philanthropy chair. Immediately scrapped Dancing with the Greeks, a long-standing tradition at Phi Tau, but everyone was very, very happy that I scrapped it for the Phi Tau Olympics. When you were in, you know, your younger years, in elementary, whatever school, did you have field day?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what'd you do on field day?
Have fun.
Like what? Give me some examples.
Like, you know, obstacle courses, just have fun, man. Just a day to hang out with your friends.
Yeah. Was it on a big field?
Yeah.
Was it outside?
Yeah.
Were there a lot of people running around?
Yep.
Yeah. And how much fun was that?
That was fantastic.
And that's what I replicated. That was the Phi Tau Olympics. I had a rock wall. I had tug of war.
Wow.
I had egg toss and water balloon stuff. It might have been a water balloon toss, actually. I think it was water balloon toss. It was awesome. Raised more money than Dancing with the Greeks had ever raised.
Sometimes you got to think outside the box.
You got to think outside the box.
Outside the blue box.
Outside the blue box. But to bring it back, being able to be the guy in charge is awesome and so fun. And the reason why I'm a lawyer. As a lawyer, you're the guy who gets people out of jail.
You're it.
You're the guy who puts the businesses together. You're the guy who protects the people who can't protect themselves. And I know that's cliche as fuck, but don't care. Because it's true.
It's true.
Straight up. And I love it. And I love it. And it bleeds into my podcast. Because my podcast, I am the guy.
You're the one in control,
who's in control. I'm the guy who's in control. And I love it. It's fantastic. Now, with that being said, I walk in here and I don't have to do shit. And I love it. I just sit here and talk shit.
It's nice when somebody else is in charge.
Oh my God, yeah. Because I'm not going to have to edit any of this, dude.
None of this. You just come in, you talk your shit, and get out.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. What's your editing process for the pod?
It's just a multicam, man. So I have both of these cameras recording at the same time. So it's just a matter of choosing one or two. You know, when it's editing, you just, when you're talking, I select one. When I'm talking, I select two.
And you do that in post?
Yeah.
How do you do that? How do you do that? Like, what, get more specific. Like, what software do you use for
I use Final Cut.
Is that like Final Adobe? Cut Pro. Is that Adobe?
No, it's the Apple version of Premiere.
Okay. And then you just use your A10 Mini to go 1-2?
No, the A10 Mini is for the live. Like, if we're doing a live podcast and I'm behind the scenes and there's two people sitting here, I'm sitting there manually switching.
Yeah. Done that. Yeah.
So when you do it in post, it's basically the same thing, but it's after the fact. So you have both feeds and now you're switching between 1 and 2 while you're editing. So it's kind of like having the A10 switcher, but on post. Oh. On post.
Yeah, episodes 1 through 40, something of my podcast, I didn't have any video equipment and I just did an audio, and then I got video equipment and I slowly learned how to use the A10 Mini.
Yeah.
But I was probably from episode 45 to 171. Excuse me. I would be the host and
the switcher
and the video switcher. And it's just annoying.
It's wild, dude. Like, 'cause you have to keep a conversation while at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, it became second nature, and honestly, it sort of became a challenge to be able to do it. And it was just, you know, it's another skill that I developed, and I sort of figured out ways to kind of build tension. And if someone's talking for too long, make sure that you're looking at the person who's not, you know, whatever. And then you got the wide camera view to see everything. God damn.
Yeah, it's a lot of work, man.
It's so much.
It's a lot to keep track of.
It's so much. So
and then like you accidentally cut to the wrong camera or something, so it's already recorded that way, so you're kind of stuck.
Yeah.
Whereas in post, you can just go back.
I mean, that I don't even care about, honestly. That's like so unimportant to me.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, I messed up. Sorry. You know, it's art, motherfucker. People mess up in art. Yeah.
How long have you been doing this, dude? It sounds like you have quite a few episodes under your belt.
I started in September of 2020.
Okay.
And so I've been doing it for about a year and a half.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been doing it for a year and a half. And when I started doing it, I was just completely obsessed with it. It was all I did. It was all I could think about. I had a bunch of plans for it. I still have a bunch of plans for it. A lot of those plans have been actualized. For example, I always wanted to go to a festival and podcast at the festival.
Podcast live, yeah.
But like, not as a camper. As someone who's actually hired by the festival, because you know, I can go to a parking lot at a Joe Rogan Experience concert, and or I guess stand a stand-up show and do that in the parking lot, or any concert, or I can go to any festival and just bring my car and podcast at my campsite. But fuck that, because I would rather be behind the stage.
Yeah.
And I actualized that. I made that happen. Dude, I went to a Stereo Music Festival in July, and they paid me to podcast with all the headliners. I podcasted with Borgore, dude.
Wow.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was awesome. Wild. Now, unfortunately, and this unfortunately is bold and italicized and in caps and in size 25 font. Unfortunately... You know, for a great mic, it's really capping.
Yeah, it's capping a little bit.
Why is it cap so?
I got the volume up.
Oh, okay. unfortunately, only four of those podcasts are available online for now. And the reason for that is Asteria Music Festival had some like external problems, like things that were like not really in their control that they like had to deal with after, mm-hmm. which is unfortunate, but just it would be a little bit tasteless to release a bunch of like epic podcasts with yeah. external things going on, which I have no leg in the game. I have no dog in the fight. I have no dog in the fight. So there's nothing for me really to even talk about. Well, it's not that I don't care. I mean, I hope that they solve any issues, and I hope they're already solved. Yeah. That would be awesome. But it has nothing to do with me. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's yeah. like, yeah. So I just left my job at the public defender's office, and I am beginning to work at a new, it's not a new firm. They've been around for 20 years. But it's a new firm for me, Blakely, Bavel, Denman, and Grace. And nice. I can finally accept clients. Because as a public defender, I wasn't able to. As yeah. a public defender, I had to...
kind of stuck with...
Yeah. And, yeah. You know, as someone who has a podcast and is constantly, you know, out going to shows...
Meeting people. Yeah.
A lot of people know I'm a lawyer. A lot of people contact me to be their lawyer. I have to say, sorry... I can talk to you about what you should do, but I can't legally give you
no legal advice.
Like yeah. legal advice. Yeah. Ugh, so ridiculous.
Wow.
Yeah, man. But yeah, now I can actually, dude, my schedule right now is so nuts.
Yeah. I can imagine.
But you know, I've always been a really big early riser. Like when I was little, there was a rule in my house. On the weekends, I was not allowed to leave my room before 7 a.m.
Get out of here.
Because I would go downstairs at like 5:45.
You would wake everybody up.
And just like play video games. Nice. Yeah. And just like wake everyone up. So I can remember looking at my Nickelodeon alarm clock.
Wow.
And 6:55. 6:56.
Just waiting for that yeah, 7
yeah.
o'clock.
Just wow. waiting for 7. Yeah. That's crazy. So... what I've boiled it down to it now mm-hmm. is this. So I want you to think about this. I have a legal career that I really, really care about and want to properly water and soil. That means that I have a very much full-time job. I work 40 to 60 hours a week, depending on what's going on. I have a podcast that I take very, very seriously, and I consider myself to be a professional at it, and I want to make sure that it is being distributed consistently and that it looks good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Additionally, I have some pretty serious gear for DJing. And by the way, I'm about to get new gear for DJing, nice. Which we can talk about my very poor financial decisions in a quick moment. It has to do with a brand new credit card, oof. Which is about to be maxed that's the fuck dangerous. Out. Yeah. Hey now.
It's dangerous for people like us, man. We just buy it. We just find gear and
this
stuff.
This is the last thing I need. Yeah. The last thing I need.
Yeah, who cares?
Yeah. And I consider myself to be someone who is fantastic at throwing together a mix. Actually, if you go on the Graham Radio SoundCloud, it's literally themed mixes. There's, nice. Right now, I have about four out. They're not easy to make, but I have about four out, and it's like a time and a place. So, for example, like 4:01 post game basement, where it's, can you already imagine what that sounds like? But just heavy, wow. heavy tech house, just bouncing off the wall shit. I also have another one called Jungle Lab, like 10 a.m. Jungle Labyrinth or something. Nice. And it's just like going through the jungle. Whoa. Oh my God. What is that? A lion? Rawr. Yeah.
And yeah, I was going to ask you about that SoundCloud. You don't make your own music though, right?
No.
You just kind of remix.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't remix anything. Just mixes. I put together music mixes.
Okay.
So, and I love listening to mixes.
Yeah.
There's some epic, people forget about SoundCloud. SoundCloud has some of the best music, and it is so good at showing it to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Spotify is amazing at showing you music as well. Spotify is the GOAT. It's fantastic. But Spotify is a lot better for like music that's a little bit more popular. SoundCloud is going to have that stuff that's not as popular, but it's so good.
Yeah.
It's like amazing. Yeah.
All these undiscovered talent.
It also has something that Spotify doesn't have, which is relaxed copyright restrictions, which is great for people who don't own music.
Yes.
Because I can just put together a bunch of music that is not mine, DJ it together in like a really, really fun way with cool drops, amazing transitions, cool effects, really turn the show into an event, or I guess the event into a show, whatever, make it cool.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of those up, and I have goals for all of this stuff. I have some serious goals. Now, when it comes to, I'm also a big believer in don't tell people your plans, show people your results.
Agreed.
So when it comes to, you know, like telling people plans, whatever, we'll let them see things. But what I can tell you is what I have been doing for a while now, which is my intense, intense schedule. It is this. I go to bed around between 9 and like 10:30, wake up at 5:20. 5:20 just is the perfect time.
You're still an early riser.
I've tried 5. I've tried 6. 6 is okay. 5 is tough. For some reason, 5:20 just works for me.
That's it, yeah.
So wake up at 5:20, shower, really clean myself well, put my clothes on for the day. Clothes were already picked out last night.
You're ready, man.
Because, you know, it takes a while to pick your clothes. Because I wear a suit and tie into work every single day. I should open this. All my stuff is laid out. All my stuff is laid out. And I put my stuff on. I then DJ for about 35 to 45 minutes in my little DJ studio.
Oh, my God.
This is like 6 a.m. I'm just like headphones on, just like
getting ready for the day.
Yeah, just like, but I'm doing my best here. I'm really trying to make it all sound good and get good at it. After that, I do about 30 to 45 minutes of case research on interesting cases going on. Recently, a lot of workers' comp. Oh my God, I'll tell you this one. This lady was working from home, tripped over her own dog, and tried to get workers' compensation.
What?
We'll talk about why she did. It's because the whole crux of it is that it wasn't a risk that her job created, aka an occupational causation, aka it didn't arise out of the. It didn't arise out of the job. But anyway, I do about 45 minutes of case research. Then, drive to work. And then by the time work is over, it's like 6-ish. Drive home, eat something, gym, eat, sleep.
Rinse and repeat.
Rinse and repeat. I am such an early riser. And what I do during the week, I just make sure that it has a lot to do with like where I want to be when I'm like in my mid 30s or something. I'm 27 now, you know? And like, you can do so much in 10 years. Before I get into that, let's open this other tie. All right, Uncle Irving, we are opening the second tie of the podcast.
He likes Target.
He does like, apparently, yeah. He's never sent me so much Target. Actually, I think that he cut this
bag.
That's cool. That's love right there. That's love.
He wanted
right
to protect it, man.
Whoa.
Wanted to waterproof it.
This is cool.
Nice.
I like the first one more. I'm not going to lie. I like the first one more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your hot take.
This is... sorry, Uncle Irving. Yeah. This one ain't cutting. this is cool as hell, you know? I like the first one more, though. This one is...
I want an uncle that sends me ties.
Epic. He's a cool uncle.
Yeah.
He was a businessman back in the day. now he's an old man, and he is a really cool dude. I talk to Uncle Irving all the time.
Yeah,
it's a great dude.
That's good.
Anyway, what was I saying? Oh yeah. You can do a lot in 10 years. When I was studying for the bar exam, I was probably 2 months into studying, and there was one mid afternoon where I was just by myself in the basement of the library, and I had studied for hours that morning, and I just needed a second. So I stood up. I was like, you know what? Now's maybe a good time to have some lunch. I had some lunch. Then I was about to start studying again, and I just couldn't. So I said, you know what? Let's think goals. Let's think, okay, where do I want to be in 10 years? So when I'm 20, when I'm 35, because that was 2 years ago. And because I was 25 at the time. And I was like, okay, where do I want to be in 10 years? And then I thought, okay, what have I done in 10 years? Where was I 10 years ago? 10 years ago, I was 15 years old, and I was a sophomore in high school. Yeah. I was in high school. And then I thought about not how much I had. Well yeah, I guess how much I had done, but not as much like what I have done, but just more like what has happened. All the things that have happened.
How is it different? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm a sophomore in high school. I have Spanish class. I have freaking a bunch of classes. I meet a bunch of new people. This person looks at me weird in the hallway. Then 6 months later, we're best friends. And
nice.
This girl hates me. Then we start dating. And like this, I start playing water polo. I start reading more. I do all this stuff. I graduate. I go to college. I rush a fraternity. I drop a fraternity.
You're a different person.
I rush a different fraternity.
Well, every 10 years, you kind of become a different person.
It's trippy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that is something that I thought about, because you do become a different person, but I think that in a big way, your desires stay the same.
Yeah.
Because at 15 years old, I was listening to every single type of music that you can think of. That's not true at all. I was deep into the Grateful Dead, deep into electronic music, nice. Deep into indie music, and I just could not get enough of it. And through the years, it's just gone genre to genre to genre, and I have gone to a billion concerts. And when I was 15, I would have loved to be a DJ.
Yeah.
And at 25, I would have loved to be a DJ. Yeah. And now it's like I'm DJing. Yeah, you see what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like I'm confident that when I'm 35, I'm going to want to be traveling the world DJing. I'm very, very confident about it, which is why I do what I do now.
Mm-hmm.
In 10 years, if you try to learn Spanish for 30 minutes every day for 10 years, you're going to be fluent.
Yeah.
You know, and 10 years isn't a very long time. How old are you?
The repetition, 39.
39. Okay, so think about when you were 29.
Yeah.
You know, like just how much has happened. You've won a bunch of tellies.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that's cool. Dude. Ugh.
Yeah, man, if I would have hit my company as hard as I am now 10 years ago,
yeah.
Oh, who knows where the hell that would be today.
How long have you been doing Blue Box?
It's been like a 5-year project for me.
Okay.
Yeah, I've always done video and stuff, but the Blue Box actually started about 5 years ago.
Why did you start Blue Box?
Because I wanted the freedom to do myself. You know, it's like I was doing so much work for other people, and I didn't have control over a lot of it. And, you know, the creative juices kind of kept flowing, and I wanted to create my own content. And I was like, you know what? This is it. Like, I'm going to do it myself.
Yeah. So the videos that you make, are they like, because I saw the, okay, for the listeners, before the podcast, I asked him to show me one of his pieces, and he showed me something that he got a telly for. It was a cool music video. But on the music video, it says that it's produced by some other company. Were you the director there? Are you directing things?
It was in association with, yeah, they had their crew, their cast, their story. They even had a script already when I walked in. So it was like they had already established what they wanted it to look like.
Okay.
So they just needed me to kind of come in and just make that real, make that a reality. So it was in association. I don't know if you saw, but I did put Blue Box in the beginning. So it's Key Vibes Production in association with Blue Box Digital.
Nice.
So and most of the time I'm actually the producing company. It's just like if they have all their shit together, like when I walk in and I don't really have to do anything as far as the story goes, it's just a matter of shooting and editing and stuff like that. Then I kind of let them take the reins on the production. And then I kind of do in association with Blue Box.
So when it comes to this being your creative outlet, what that sounds like is they're bringing you in to film something.
Mm-hmm.
So in that process, where's the creative freedom in that?
For me, the creative freedom comes in when I go into a project where I actually have a say in what the story looks like.
Okay,
and
okay.
I get to direct it. I get to, you know, the director of photography usually tells, like, when you get handed a script, yeah, it's their script, but I get to tell it how I want to.
Yes.
So I get to pick the camera angles, the you know, like the mood of it, the music that plays with it. So that's where my creative freedom comes in.
Nice. Yeah. So, and I mean,
and it's a collaboration too. So it's everybody's creative.
So like what kind of stuff have you done like that?
Yeah, it's music videos. That one's the one that they had everything ready, which is very rare. Most of the time when people come to me, they're like, yeah, I have the song and I want to create a visual for it, but I don't know what to do. Like,
right.
So then that kind of gets me, my mind going, and I kind of throw ideas at them, and you know, it just kind of builds from there.
Cool. Who would you love to work with?
Oh my God. There's so many people. Pusha Prime, one of them.
Oh my God. Pusha Prime's great.
Yeah. I'd love to do one of his videos.
Really cool dude.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, just anybody, man. Just I just love creating the creation process. And honestly, to be really honest with you, I'd rather do short films. Like, I want to go into the narrative.
Do you have do you write at all? Like, have you written any short films?
I do. Yeah, I do. And I've actually
about what? What are they about? Tell me. I love stories.
No spoilers.
Okay, no spoilers on this podcast. That's cool.
But yeah, I started shooting my first short film a couple months ago. It's almost done. So it's in the post production process now. But
what are your thoughts on the importance of like promoting your stuff on TikTok, things like that?
I think,
what are your thoughts on that?
I think those platforms are just stages, you know, and it's you got to go where the eyeballs are. So I'm all for it, man. I'm all over TikTok. I'm all over Instagram.
That's cool.
It's just a way to promote, and kind of that's what I do for this podcast too. Is a lot of people don't have the time to sit and watch the whole full hour or whatever.
Yeah.
So I kind of chop it up and just make it consumable for people. So yeah, it's like I chop the little 60-second clips and something, and it goes crazy on TikTok.
Nice. Yeah. How many followers do you have on TikTok? I haven't looked at your TikTok.
4,600.
Damn. Yeah. Wow.
It's a lot more than my Instagram, that's for sure.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
Are you on TikTok?
Nice. I am, but I don't really use that. I don't use it like I should.
Yeah.
Yeah. For a while, I had this issue where I was so focused on making content for Instagram and TikTok that the actual piece of work, the podcast, was deteriorating.
Yeah.
And I took a look at what was going on, and I was like, this is where I want to be.
I'm actually at that point as well where that kind of takes up a lot of my time.
Yeah.
And I'm actually thinking about outsourcing that part of it. So I just shoot the entire podcast, produce that, and then just kind of,
if you have the means to do that, it's such a great move.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, because then it's just like you can just focus on the good stuff.
Focus on the content. Yeah.
Imagine if you didn't have to do any of this shit. Like, imagine if all you did was walk in.
Just walk in and
God.
Kind of like what you did today.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to stop podcasting and just be a guest on everybody else's podcast. Shit.
That's the secret, man. Yeah, it's a lot, man. It is really a lot. And with the promotion, like, you can create a podcast, but if you don't promote it, what's it for? You know?
Exactly.
Like, how are you?
How are people going to know?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, there was actually a pretty interesting case. Avenged Sevenfold versus their record company. I think it might have been Capitol Records. And they were in a seven-album deal. They did six albums over the course of, I think, 13 years or something, and which is a pretty long time to only do six albums, but nonetheless, whatever.
Seriously.
Well, I guess that might not necessarily be true, because, you know, every 2.5-ish years, but whatever. They signed the deal in the early 2000s with a certain person and that person's team, and through the years, that person and the person's team, you know, they left, people quit, people got hired, shit happens. By the time it's 14 years later, none of the people at that record label were the same.
The same people.
Now,
it's a completely different team at that point.
Now, here's a question. Is that a reason to get out of a contract?
It depends, I guess.
Well, just what I just... Well, yeah, but, but not really. Like, is that a reason to get out of a contract?
If you're working with different people that you don't like, I'd want to get out of it.
No, it's not.
No?
No. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Because they didn't sign the record deal with John Smith. They signed it with Capitol Records or Columbia or whoever the fuck. It doesn't matter who's the one actually doing it, provided that the corporation is making it happen. So Avenged Sevenfold, and they ended up just releasing an album with zero marketing.
Wow!
And then going to another. And then going
just to fulfill their contract.
Just to fulfill their contract. and then they went to another big label, and then they released like their real thing with a bunch of marketing, and then they got sued by their old record label.
Yeah, so you're looking at it from a legal standpoint.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it from the artist standpoint. Like, I don't want to work with you. Like, I don't give a shit what the contract says.
No, I get it. I get it. And then, you know, you have to face the repercussions. It's like, hey, you fucking
you signed on the line, so now you gotta
you fucked my girlfriend, and I want to kill you, but I'm not gonna kill you. It's like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, just because you're mad at someone doesn't mean that you can take really bad. It doesn't mean that you can act improperly.
Yeah.
Like,
it's unprofessional. I mean?
You might want to, but you can't.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's some crazy cases, dude. I've been reading a lot of work comp cases. There's this one case where this woman, I might have alluded to it either during the podcast or right before it. I don't remember. But this woman was working from home, and she had, you know, she had a desk and a laptop, whatever. She had a little work home station, and she was working from home remotely, and she decided to take a break. She decided she was working for like 2-3 hours, whatever. She wanted to take a coffee break. So she gets up, she goes to her kitchen. Excuse me. As she's reaching for her coffee, she somehow trips over her own dog. She falls and she breaks her hip and her shoulder and her knee. I think she was a little bit older because those, I don't, those sound like old people.
Yeah. Like if you fall, you break your hip. Yeah.
And she sues her company for workers' comp damage.
Yeah, she was working from home.
So she was working from her. Yeah. Now, okay, here's a question. Like, you know, you're at work and you take a break and you slip and fall. Do you get workers' comp?
Yes.
Why?
Because it's at a place of business.
Yes. That's correct. Basically, there's two aspects to workers' compensation. You have to it's A plus B equals C, which is proper because compensable. Yeah. So A is it needs to fall. It needs to – the injury, the accident needs to occur in the course and scope of your employment. Now, what that means is that it just happens while you're working. It happens while you're clocked in. It happens while you're in your while you're trucking. It and on the proper route. It happens when you're serving as a waiter or a waitress. It's during a work day.
In the process of your work. It's
in the process of your work. The second part of it. So that was A. The second part is the injury arose out of the work. So it was a risk that the job created. For example, if you are a glass blower, you're constantly around these big hot furnaces. Yeah. Let's say that you, you know, and I've actually talked to a lot of them before.
Yeah.
They, every single day, they have like a little burn. But if they want to sue their company for a serious and significant thing that was an accident, they can get that. That's workers' comp. Now, what if they're at home and they have their own glass blowing furnace and they make a plate and it burns their face off? That's not it might have been the same thing. It might have been the same type of injury. It might have been that, but they're not. It's not. That's not during the course and scope. Mm-hmm. Now, she was working. If you're on a break, there's something called the personal comfort doctrine that allows you to take breaks. A refreshed employee is a productive employee. That's the whole ethos behind the personal comfort doctrine.
Wow.
So people can legally take breaks. You can, and this is not legal advice. Now I'm venturing into legal advice. But while you're working, if it's reasonable for you to go and like leave work and grab lunch somewhere, there's case law that says that it's compensable.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. And what I'm saying is not legal advice.
Yeah.
What, like, don't go and go don't go to Outback and stab yourself with a rib.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, be careful out there, people. But there's case law that says that you can. There's also case law that says that you can't. It really depends on what happened, and that's where it depends is. And that's why I'm saying again, this is not legal advice. I'm just saying that there is case law on the issue, but a lot falls under the personal comfort doctrine. Now, A, course and scope. This lady was working. B, the risk arose out of the work that she was doing. Now, the risk here being that she trips over her own dog.
The dog wouldn't have been at her work location, though.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's a situation that she created on her own in her home.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't see why that would be covered.
Exactly. Yeah, man, exactly.
Yeah.
It's not the day that she leaves that job and quits, that that risk will still be there.
Yeah.
Before she got the job, that risk was there. But when she clocks out, that's just that is a risk that that is a personal risk. Yeah. That is a completely personal. So it the first some appellate stuff. The first court found it compensable under the personal comfort doctrine. The Court of Appeals took it away.
Wow.
Which I think was proper.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, by the way, here's the twist. Her job, what her who was she was working for? She's a workers' compensation adjuster.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which is just wild.
You can't write this shit.
No, I know. I know. It really is mind-blowing.
Today's episode is brought to you by Canva. Canva Pro is an online graphic design app that makes content creation easy for everyone. And it helps out the show. To start your 30-day free trial, head over to canva.blueboxdigital.com. So what's next for you, man? What do you got on the horizon for your podcast and all your personal projects?
Just to keep moving in the same direction that I've been doing. Yeah, man. Right now I'm in a really good spot.
Yeah.
I have a schedule. It took me a while to get it down because, you know, before I got my first job, I was podcasting full-time and... hey, it's Wednesday at 9 p.m. You want to come over until 2 and podcast? Yeah, sure. Nice. You can't do that when you have a full-time job. And you got to show up to work at 8 a.m. Yep. It's like, no, dude, no.
We wouldn't be able to do this, what we're doing now. So
yeah, exactly, man. So what's next for me is just keep growing. I have a good schedule. Like I don't podcast during the week. The transition of being a full-time podcaster to being a full-time attorney and podcaster it was tough because when I first started my job, I had a bunch of podcasts scheduled during the week and I was still scheduling podcasts during the week. Yeah. I'll be home at 6:30, come over. And we would podcast until like maybe eight, sometimes 10.
Yeah.
And they would leave and I would be dead tired from doing this.
Exhausted.
And,
yeah.
And hosting
after a long day of
working.
Work.
And I have a podcast the next day and it's like, oh my God. Yeah. Just so much, dude. It was so much. Oh God.
What are your goals for the podcast? I know you said you have goals for all your
projects. Yeah. The goals for the podcast, really the biggest goal is just like organic growth. Just keep it going. I'm not trying to stop the podcast anytime soon. Like, I would love to podcast at more festivals and do things like that. But like right now, when it comes to editing and my graphic design and stuff, I mean, I do it all, and it's all very simple. I do it all on the free version of Canva, but it all looks consistent.
That's all you need.
I have the red square with the white number, and I throw it up on my Squarespace. I mean, what's next for the podcast? Maybe putting it on Anchor so that I can actually get the video on Spotify, which would be so nice. Oh, my gosh. Because it's like my video on YouTube, that's cool, but getting it on Spotify would actually...
get it on Spotify.
That'd be different. Yeah. Do you listen to Joe Rogan at all?
Yeah.
Nice. Oh, yeah, me too.
Yeah.
He's the greatest.
He's awesome.
Yeah. I've been listening to a lot of old ones.
You know, he set the bar for podcasting.
Yeah.
Really.
I've been listening to a lot of old episodes of Joe Rogan.
He's just going back in his archive.
Yeah. Did you know that Deadmau5 was on the podcast?
No.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Deadmau5.
Like a while ago?
This is like 2011.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Deadmau5 was on. Amy Schumer, who gets a lot of shit from the comedy community, she was on the Joe Rogan Experience and then came on again like 2 or 3 months later and then again like 4 or 5 years later.
Oh, shit.
But she hasn't been on in years. So I don't know why Amy Schumer hasn't been.
What happened?
And she's great.
She's awesome.
Oh my gosh, I love her. Amy. Yeah, she is really fantastic. Yeah.
What's the biggest guest that you've had on your podcast?
The biggest guest.
What's the most memorable?
I mean, probably the biggest guest was Borgor.
Okay.
And technically, he wasn't even on the Graham Radio podcast. He was on the Stereo Radio. Sitting with him and talking with him was cool. I was also fried because I had gotten like no sleep. It was the last day of a 3-day festival where I was in a hot, muggy tent podcasting. It was the 17th podcast that I did. Yeah, I was so tired. So I want to redo my Borg War podcast because it definitely
didn't come out so well.
No, it did. No. But it's definitely a piece of history.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, I've gotten a lot better at choosing guests because, you know, guests on the Graham Radio podcast, it's very, very easy to get rappers. It's so easy. Yeah. you got to have a good filter on who should come on the podcast. Because, you know, I was just letting anybody and their mother come on the podcast. Like, oh, yeah, I mean, who cares? And, you know, like, a lot of people hit me up on the pod, and I'll look at, like, their Spotify and their Instagram and shit, and it's, like, not impressive. Yeah. And it's just, I don't know. I'm a big believer in kind of hanging your ego at the door. Like, I heard a great quote. Who are you trying to be cool for? You know, I love that quote. Yeah. Come on. Who are you trying to be cool for?
Who are you trying to impress?
Who's here? Who's here? What's going on? Just who are you trying to be cool for, bro? And whenever I get that vibe from someone's like social media or just like talking to them, I'm fucking great. Yeah. Fuck yourself. You're not that great.
You can tell the people that are just want to talk about their passion and also the people that just want attention.
Yeah, exactly. exactly. Ugh, fuck, man. Some people just come on the pod and just don't know how to pod.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like,
I've had a guy that come on here and just started talking about his personal drama with his girlfriend and stuff. And I'm like, that's not the kind of content I want to put out, bro.
Did you put it out?
No.
That's so funny. Well, without naming names, what was going on with his girlfriend? I'm interested now.
He was talking about,
she has a dick.
Yeah.
I just found out.
It was something stupid. Like she cheated on him or something.
Oh, that sucks. It's just
regular drama. It's like, this is not a drama podcast.
You ever been cheated on before?
I have.
Oh, fuck.
It sucks.
That does suck.
It sucks.
Yeah. I've never been cheated on. My first ex-girlfriend will say that I cheated on her, but I didn't.
Yeah, no.
But I didn't. I'll tell you what happened, though.
Okay.
Let's hear it. I was dating her, and I dated her through the end of high school and the beginning of college, and then I started pledging at this fraternity that I ended up deciding to leave and going with a different one. But at the time, I was pledging for this fraternity, and on a certain night, they brought in a bunch of strippers to the house to like dance. And I'm not a strip club guy. Yeah. I've always been very much disgusted by it.
Yeah.
And not to say that field, like that profession, mm-hmm. if you want to go down that profession, cool, awesome.
It's your body, yeah.
Good for you. Yeah. Well, it's not even that. It's your art. It's awesome. Yeah. It's not easy to do. Yeah.
I couldn't do it.
I couldn't do it. I'm too chunky. I have the tits though, but they brought them in and, you know, they were dancing and stuff, and they gave us a bunch of bows. Woo! You know, who cares? We're freshmen at freaking Florida State University. Girls. Go Noles! So, I think really nothing of it. I thought it was kind of boring. Just, I mean, it was fun, but I don't know. It seemed a little bit manufactured. I think that's the word for
totally
it.
It totally is.
Yeah. And maybe like 3 weeks later, literally just like walking through campus, and I like, it was weird. Like I ran into my girlfriend, which is like, I guess that when does that happen? Yeah. It's like, oh, hey, we know each other. Like we're dating, right? Like, wait a minute. Yeah. So, you know, we start walking together, and she's being really, really quiet. She's like, do you have anything you want to tell me?
Oh,
and
boy.
Like, it wasn't even in the front of my mind. I was like genuinely no. Like, I have, what did I do? I'm sorry. Like, I don't know. Yeah. Real. Okay. Sure. And she ends up telling me, I know there were strippers. I'm like, sorry. Why did I have to hear that from someone else? Why did I have to hear that from someone else?
Wow.
And it's like, I don't, like, what do you want me to tell you?
That
like,
was her cheating?
That was me cheating on her.
Wow.
And it's like, I would never cheat on a girl. That's terrible.
But just looking at strippers, like.
I mean, but that doesn't even like excite me, to be totally honest. I mean, I see it and I'm like.
They don't see it that way though.
Who's they?
The girls.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. I don't know. So your guest's girlfriend cheated on him. That's with another guest. Was it with me?
No.
Was it with you?
It was with me.
Nice.
We had to hash it out on the podcast. You know, it's man. I'm not the drama type, man. I'm here to empower. I'm here to inspire. You know, people that want to do what we do. You know, just they have these dreams and they have these goals and they just need someone who's doing it, you know, kind of going back and say, look, this is what I had to go through. And just, you know, when you go through it, these are just some of the things that you might encounter.
Yeah.
So when you do, you know, you're ready.
It feels good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It feels good to finally, you know, put out your first podcast or whatever. How exciting was it to have your first guest?
Oh my God. I love it.
Cool. Right. Yeah. Cool. Cool.
It was super awkward too, man. Cause I had never done it before. I'm usually the guy behind the camera, you know?
Right. Like, right. Right. Okay.
So seeing me and listening to myself, I don't know. It was weird at first, but you can get used to it.
It is weird. It's trippy. It's trippy. Wait. So do you take the stuff down when you're not podcasting or no?
No, like most of the stuff stays. The cameras kind of go with me when I have shoots. When I need lighting, sometimes I'll have to tear down the lights. But
how much of a bitch is it to transport?
Oh, it sucks. Especially on a third floor.
Oh yeah.
So you got to carry everything downstairs.
Oh, that's so annoying. How long have you lived here?
A couple of years.
Oh my gosh. Why the third floor? It was just the one that
they had available. Yeah. Oh, and now they have a second floor available, but I don't want to move. Like, I already have all this shit set up.
It might be worth it. It might be worth it.
Yeah. I even thought about getting one of those garages down on the first floor, but then it's not AC'd, so it's like, I don't know.
Yeah, I guess that could screw up your equipment. Yeah, you don't want that. You have some nice equipment. So wait, so you've been doing your video stuff for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, like how long? How was a while?
Almost a decade, man.
That's nice.
Yeah, I've been just shooting commercials, shooting music videos, just doing my thing, man.
Yeah. What's like commercials for what? Have I seen your commercials?
Probably. They're the smaller commercials. They're not like
okay. The
big Super Bowl commercials, but it's like, I've done a few for like some assisted living facilities that are nearby that their commercials play on like
Lit!
Right? They play on like Main News 9. Like I do a lot of work for Cox Media up north, like in the Gainesville area.
Okay.
Yeah. They do a lot, like the museum. I did one for the Natural History Museum. I did a commercial for them. It's just stuff like that, man. Just whatever comes my way, you know.
Nice.
Yeah.
What if you could do a Coke commercial? You had full creative control. What would you do?
I would love to do a car commercial.
A car commercial?
Yeah, just fly my drone along with the car and that kind of stuff. I love that.
Would be cool.
Yeah.
What car company?
Audi, maybe.
Nice.
Yeah.
What kind of car do you have?
Right now, I have a Toyota.
Toyota, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a Hyundai.
Yeah.
Nice, dude.
You can have dreams, right?
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah, yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, I would love to have an Audi, though.
Yeah.
Audi's just, it just feels like modern.
It's the feeling, right?
Modern awesomeness. Yeah.
It's the brand.
But it's like, have you ever been in an Audi?
Yes.
It's nice. Feels good.
It does.
There's something about just getting into like a luxury car and you're like, fucking okay.
Yeah.
This is cool.
And like a BMW or something.
I was just thinking BMW, but like, I'm not a big BMW guy. I'm not a big BMW guy. I like, it just feels a little bit too, like, I don't know. Like I need a bitch with some meat. You know what I mean? Like a girl, like girlfriends of mine and like girls who had like, you know, they need to have like some meat on their bones.
Yeah.
And I just feel like
A BMW
is just like skin and bones. You know what I mean? A BMW is like...
It's like one of those super skinny models.
Yeah, it's like there's nothing to grab onto.
Yeah.
A BMW is like a Victoria's Secret model. Beautiful, but like a little too skinny.
Nice to look at, but you know, not a lot of heft.
Yeah, yeah. The real one that I would want is like a Range Rover. Oh my God, I would love a Range Rover.
Nah, those are nice.
Oh my gosh, dude. But the thing is, my apartment complex right now that I live in is so shitty.
Oh,
and it's like, it got... It's been on the news for attacks.
Oh shit!
recently, like literally 2 weeks ago, my apartment complex was on the news because some girl was like attacked and she was tased or something.
I hope she's okay, Jesus.
Bro. I know, right? We're in Sketchville, so yeah, I can't be driving around a Range Rover. I'll get attacked.
Yeah,
it's enough that I leave my apartment in a suit. It's like, what does this guy do? Yeah.
Do you have all your DJ equipment? Like, do you have to haul that?
Yeah. I haul it all, which is annoying.
You're
I have a system, and I'm sure you do too.
Oh, yeah.
Just like getting all it takes.
That's like Tetris, man. You're just kind of okay. This fits here. This fits here.
I know exactly how to put my DJ equipment in my car.
Yep.
And it's the DJ equipment because it's not normal DJ. I have two big ass turntables, and it's not a controller. It's like two big ass turntables,
like
and
actual
a mixer.
Turntables.
Like actual turntables.
Yeah, you got records, like crates of records.
They're not actual turntables.
Okay,
They're MIDI turntables, so it's still digital, but it has the turntable feel. Like
you can still scratch
when it's playing. Yeah, you can still scratch when it's playing. It's actually spinning.
Okay,
so it has the feel of real turntables, but it's not. I don't have a bunch of vinyls. I also do have a vinyl record player that is very much suitable for DJing. And I have vinyls, but I
not like the digital collection.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so easy to get music now digitally that it just buying records is no longer even feasible for a DJ.
I mean, it's a cool art and I respect it. There's this is great DJ like Matsumoto or something on, and I'm probably butchering his name and I feel bad about that. On his videos on Instagram are so cool because he has this unlimited collection of 45s nice. And he has these two turntables and they spin. And he's That's just like, sweet. Pop, 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 it's so cool.
It's so cool to watch.
Yeah, he's like blind in one eye, I think.
Oh, shit.
Which makes it even more impressive. Yeah. You can barely see. It's like, it's cool. Yeah.
It's all about the sound and the feel, man.
It's cool to see that guy work, man. It really, really is. Dude, cool podcast.
Thank you, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And thank you for coming on.
This was very, very cool.
Yeah, you got to come on again. And you got to have me on your podcast now.
Yeah, I'm down. I'm definitely down to bring
you
on.
I'm not an artist. I'm not a rapper or anything, but, you know.
It's okay. Yeah. We'll definitely set that up.
Yeah, for sure, man.
Fuck yeah. Dude, yeah, it is cool to be in other people's podcast studios. It's like I've just spent so much time in mine. Yeah. Like seeing other people on there is fucking great.
That's why when I saw you reach out, I'm like, dude, this is a podcaster. Yeah, I got to have him on. Yeah, I got to pick your brain.
Yeah.
About podcasting.
Do you have any questions for me about podcasting?
Yeah. How do you market? Like, how do I market your podcast? Yeah.
So I have accepted the fact that I do not have enough time to properly market.
Okay.
Now, what you just asked me, I'm going to bifurcate your question.
Okay.
There's a way to properly market and there's a way to continuously market. I continuously market. And the way that I do it, I edit my podcast, I find clips, I make them look good and professional, and I casually post them. What I could do is go on every single subreddit thread that has anything to do with rising artists and write, my podcast is this, and this person came on the podcast and said this, and here's this. I can do the same thing on a bunch of Facebook groups, and I can start DMing people on Twitter and
That's like
entering the conversation on Twitter and saying like, hey, I have this podcast. This person came on. He's a podcaster. He's also a lawyer and a DJ. He has a lot of really interesting things to say about the law, and he has stories, and he's compelling. He has a weird nasally voice. He's Jewish.
Nice.
Like, he's cool. And you can go on the nasally voice subreddit and write your shit there. Like, you can just put your podcast in a billion different places. And I can bring on guests and ask for their music and throw that into my DJ stuff and go on. I can take the clip from my DJ stuff, extract it, put it on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, Snapchat, and say, hey, like, tag this artist. This artist was on the Graham Radio podcast. I also have a lot of other artists. And I can go on Clubhouse and
I never
use it. Like, I could go on Clubhouse and talk about my podcast and enter the conversation and be this like interesting dude who does a lot of different shit.
It's about the time, though.
But I don't.
Yeah,
I don't do any of that shit. I could.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I don't, because I know that I'm patient. And if I just keep doing what I'm doing, I'm going to be successful organically in a while. Now, it's definitely still organic to do all the stuff that I just said.
Yeah.
But the thing is,
like, you're wasting it.
What I just said, well, not necessarily wasting it, it's just a different direction. What I just said is a full-time job. People don't realize that. People don't realize.
It's very time-consuming.
It's very, 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 very time-consuming. And I would rather grow slower and get good sleep and be healthy when I'm 35 than like go absolutely in on marketing and wear 10,000 hats for something that like I can just be patient and get it properly in like a different way.
As long as you stay consistent.
Yeah. As long as I stay consistent, man. Yeah. One thing that I've really found that I have started to do is just figuring out streamlined ways to do shit. Like, this is such a simple thing. My air fryer. I have gotten so good at using my air fryer when it comes to cleaning it. because I take it out, I let it soak, I dump it. I wipe off the all the grease. I take out the tray. I wipe that down with the hard side in like a certain way. I flip it around in a certain way. It's same exact thing with the podcast. It's the same exact thing. Because what I used to do, I would watch all of the watch the whole podcast and then put it on the DaVinci.
Yeah.
Like I would do all of this unnecessary shit, and it would take up all of my time. And I was saving the files incorrectly, but then I figured out how to save them correctly. So just figuring out ways to consolidate your time will open a lot more time, which is great, which is what, I mean, I'm on the path to figuring out. Because yeah. You want to hear something about all the shit that I just said, subreddits and Facebook groups and Snapchat and this and that. Like, over time, you can figure out ways that it won't be a full-time job. You can figure out, okay, I know that if I take a video of me doing X, Y, and Z, which is an easy video to post, I'll be able to post it with minimal editing on TikTok, Reddit, and like Instagram and yeah. Twitter. I know that I'll be able to do that. But right now, I don't know how to do that yeah. without spending a ton of time on it. You know, and you know, hopefully I'll figure it out. I'm confident that I will. But until then, I mean, it took me a long time to figure out. Like,
yeah, I was going to say, you're up to like 100 and something episodes now. So like, yeah, you've been doing it for a while.
I mean, I've just like, there's so many iterations yeah. of how I've tried to market. Like the podcast has always stayed the same. The podcast has always been very, very consistent in like what it is. It's open mm-hmm. format, long form discussion. Every once in a while, I'll have a segment. You see these?
Cool business. Like it's fucking cool. But
how it's just like
yeah, that's
the big video and then me in the background.
Mm-hmm.
It took me a while to just decide to do that because I'll show you what they used to look like. They
black bars, the black on the top and the bottom.
No, well, sort of, but yeah. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying it used to look even better. It used to look wow. a lot. It used to look a lot better, but it would just take so much time. It was ridiculous. Let me show you what I'm talking about.
That's true, man. Because when I post mine, I make it look super good. I always do captions, so that shit takes time.
It takes a lot of time.
Yeah,
like it's crazy.
Maybe I should just streamline like you.
Streamlining is awesome.
Yeah,
it's just like so much.
Yeah, I can see why that took forever.
It, yeah,
and each post is like you got to do it individually for each one. Yeah,
so it would just take so long. But with the way that I do it now, it looks good. It's
it gets easy the point across.
Yeah. Easy to make. It gets the point across. It's just, it's fine. And that's I like awesome, it. Man. And, you know, over time, maybe I'll figure out a way to make them different and make them look better. I don't know. But for now, this is what they're going to look like.
Yeah.
And works. I'm more than happy with
it. It works.
Yeah. So, sometimes the simple answer is the best answer, man. It really is.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Now, when you're interviewing somebody, do you write stuff down? Like, do you actually
yeah,
go into it with
I have
a couple questions?
I
like, do you do research on the
I do, it really depends on the guest, man.
Yeah.
Like, if it's someone who I don't know a ton about, but like, okay, like, for example, you know, you'll come on the podcast. I'll probably have, like, specific, like, video questions to ask
gotcha.
You.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and I would want answers about transparency and opacity or something. I don't know.
Yeah,
lighting.
Yeah.
How can I make this podcast look better with lighting? Like light in the lighting sense, things like that, you know?
Gotcha.
But okay. Today I had Matt Holt on, and me and Matt Holt know each other. He's a local singer, rapper, music dude. And he's great. He's a funny guy. I did a little bit of research on him. I found a YouTube video that I hadn't found before. We talked a little bit about that, but
that's
we literally were just like cracking each other up
off
the
cuff.
It was hilarious. It was hilarious.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It was super
fun. That's how I've been running mine. Just kind of off the cuff and just whatever question comes to mind, I'll ask it. You know,
it is better if you do research though.
Yeah.
I will say that. I will say that because for a very, very, there was a very long period where I did no research and I would just have people on. And then after the podcast, I would realize like, oh my God, they were just in India milking cows.
I see.
And we didn't talk about that. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Like really, really simple stuff that you wouldn't think to bring up. And a lot of people, I mean, I'm good at being a guest and being a host because I'm compelling and I have stories. I have shit to say and to talk about.
Yeah, you do.
I believe that everyone has that in them. But the problem is some people will just put it out. Yeah. Some people will just sit here and talk into this beautiful microphone properly and say, this is me, blah, the word vomit, going nuts. Some people need to have be poked and prodded. So tell me, have you ever milked a cow?
Like, I've had a few, yeah.
What, one thing that I find is if I do things with my guest before podcasting, then we'll have a better podcast. For example,
like
with,
before you start shooting.
Yeah, like, okay, you want to see a video of my big fucking, dude, I'm fatter than I've ever been. I haven't stepped on a scale in a long time.
Damn.
Like, it wouldn't surprise me if it was like over 215. Like,
up. No way.
Oh, yeah.
Get out of here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you're about to see, okay, like, look at this. Look at this.
Your before picture.
No. This is today. This is earlier today.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah, I'm a little fatty. yeah, for the watchers. Yeah, Jesus. Dude, but what we were doing, we filmed a skit right before we podcasted.
Oh, okay.
Which is like a funny thing. Wait.
It's just to loosen them up. Yeah.
You'll love this. Wait, look at this. Okay. This is the intro to the Matt Holt podcast that I haven't edited yet.
Nice.
But yeah, it's just like, yeah, you like that? You like that?
Nice,
then look at that big fucking belly. Look at this. it's so gorgeous.
Nice. Should be proud of that.
Yeah, fuck yeah, dude. Oh my god, that's so nuts. God, I need to lose weight.
I feel like that sometimes. I look at myself and like when I'm editing belly. And stuff.
Let me see your belly. Let me see. Take your shirt off.
Little, nah, man.
Come on, I'll take my shirt off.
No, I'm kidding.
You gonna take your shirt off?
I just saw you with your shirt off.
Let me see you. Okay. Yeah, well, that's not as bad as me.
I got a little.
What are the Asian tattoos?
It's actually Transformers.
Oh, okay. What is it? What does it mean?
It says evolve, which okay. I'm a huge advocate of
guy.
Evolution. Cool. Yeah, just evolution in general. Just the fact that you have to adapt and evolve, even in society. Like, it just that's just a thing you do. You know that you have to do to survive. So it's like, I just wanted to put it on my body, but I didn't want to do it in like English or like. You know, like the typical Oriental letters or whatever. So I just found a font that just I have always been a fan of. Like even when
does it say evolve?
Yeah,
let me see because it didn't
E V O L V E.
Where's the E?
It's up here.
How is that an E? That's not an E.
It's in the Transformers font.
Oh,
yeah.
when did you get that? How long have you had that for?
It's been a few years.
Cool.
It's been a few years. I remember watching the movie, and you know when the robots are talking or whatever, there's always that the subtitles that come on, and it's in their font, and then it just kind of changes into English. I always loved that font that came up. Yeah, I'm
cool.
A huge nerd, man.
That's cool, man.
I haven't figured it out.
That's cool. Yeah, I have one tattoo. I got while I was drunk in my fraternity.
Nice.
Omega.
The Omega.
Yeah. Rush fighter. Yeah. Yeah, that's my only tattoo.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. But yeah, well, when it comes to like preparing for podcasts, it's a lot of just going on their Instagram.
That's what I typically do.
Seeing what they post, mm-hmm. seeing like what they're interested in, diving into that, asking them a question about that. Another great way to do research, which I did this for when I had Jorge Brea on the podcast, CEO of Symphonic, really, really cool dude, nice dude, had a lot to say about music distribution and the music business, which is great. Jorge Brea, episode 169. I listened to other podcasts that he did. I went on YouTube and just listened. I think he did 3 podcasts prior to doing mine, and they had a ton of great information. So when he sat down, I already knew that he started Symphonic in 2004-5 by selling MP3s on MySpace.
Gotcha.
You know, I went into it already knowing that.
Yeah,
and that's just
the one that you just pulled up. That was the
one. Actually, that is that's out right now. And I have some backlogged podcasts, Fed Up Radio, Dallas Clark, Matt Holt was just interviewed.
How many do you normally keep in the bank?
Totally depends. Cause
just depends on the week.
I'll do 8 podcasts in a month, and then I won't do a single podcast for 2 weeks.
Got enough, yeah.
Well, it's not even that. It's just about scheduling.
Yeah.
It's just like one weekend I might have some shit to do, or one weekend
I've noticed too that sometimes people come on and they want to promote something that's happening, you know, recently. So it's kind of like sometimes when I have a backlog and I tell them, yeah, yours isn't going to be out for another 4 or 5 weeks. And they're like, oh man, like that one, Push Supreme wanted to push that show that was happening like a day or two after we shot.
Yeah.
And then just His episode hasn't even come out yet.
Yeah. I mean, dude. Oh, yeah. And what was this for the March 4th show?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to go to that. March 4th is literally my birthday, so
is it?
Yeah, I had bad plans. Like my parents were in town. Yeah. I really wanted to go.
I wanted to go because he was going to introduce me to a bunch of people, like networking and stuff like that. A lot of videographers that he's friends with, and
that's cool.
Just other artists and stuff, but yeah, I just didn't get to go.
That's cool. Yeah, yeah. Pusha Supreme will definitely show you some people. He's a really, really cool guy.
He's a cool
and
dude,
really
man.
And just like a really genuine guy.
Yeah,
you know?
I've noticed that.
Yeah, but yeah, like when it comes to preparing for podcasts, like. I've sat at podcasts before and just felt underprepared and like, yeah. I wish I had more questions, but then there's podcasts where it's like, I overprepared and I have like a billion questions.
Yeah. You don't get to all of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you know, and those are the real good yeah. ones. Those are ones that people can really like sink their teeth into.
Yeah. 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 And then you'll have enough content for a second, like a part two, you know, a
yeah.
continuation.
But precisely.
Bring
dude.
Them back. Yeah.
Precisely.
That's awesome, man. Well, I look forward to being on your podcast, man.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Yeah, we'll definitely schedule that.
Yeah, for sure.
God damn. You have some seriously cool equipment, man. And it's cool to see. What's that Apple thing?
That's actually a Mac Mini. It's a little computer, a little Mac that kind of runs the whole thing.
Really?
Yeah.
It looks important to this scenario.
Yeah. It's strictly just for recording. Like, I only leave it in the studio. Like, I edit on my MacBook Pro.
Do you have any cameras that you just don't use ever that you can give me?
Oh, then not that I can give you. I always keep it as a backup. You know,
how many cameras do you have?
I have three.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Cool. I have 40 cameras.
No.
Yeah.
I have these two, which I shoot on mainly. This one's usually static because it doesn't have autofocus. So the Blackmagic is kind of, it has to stay on a tripod. That one I do with my gimbal and all the handheld stuff.
Cool.
And then I also have the camera that I first started Blue Box with. I still have it. I'm thinking about whenever I get another camera. I saw this thing, this really cool thing on YouTube where this guy, it was like a memento of his first camera, and he put it in silicon, like a silicon cube, and it like forever preserved it.
That's cool.
I want to do that with my first camera.
That's really cool.
That's what started it all, you know?
Yeah. I would love to do that with my first mixer. It was like a $40 mixer on eBay.
It got me through, man.
My first 40-something podcast before I got my Rodecaster. Yeah. I should preserve that.
For sure. Especially if you don't use it anymore.
Exactly. I don't.
Yeah. Just preserve it. Yeah, that's awesome, man.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, it was really cool being on this podcast.
Thank you.
It was really
absolutely.
Cool. Yeah, it's inspiring to see like how different people's studios look and lighting. Like your lighting situation is so great.
Thank you.
Your lighting is really, really cool.
And hopefully it shows in the quality of the videos.
It does.
Now.
It does. Yeah. Does, yeah. Can I give some creative direction though?
Yeah.
One thing that I noticed is that it seemed a little bit dark, like for some, and you might totally disagree with that, but it just seemed a little bit dark. And I don't know, maybe it's because of like the black squares in the background. Maybe it's because it's literally black right behind you.
Yeah. I know mine is dark because of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's, yeah.
Yeah. But, so sometimes even if I crank up some of the, like to make it brighter, then you see the background and it's like, you kind of have to find an even balance. I'm trying to find a different color background. Cause
okay.
I know that's what's causing it, but.
Okay.
Yeah, that whole
Oh,
black
so
wall.
What I just said is something that you've recognized.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
This entire black wall, it just sucks all the light out of the room. So it's like you got to come up with something that will reflect the light, and then that'll brighten up the whole room.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. But it just cool. absorbs the light and then yeah.
What about just like a stark white? I mean, it's not that big of a deal if they can see the background, you know? Like you're not in like a computer game.
Yeah.
What if you just got like a white background?
That's true. I thought about just getting rid of it, just doing my living room in the background.
that's a little personal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm still like I said, this is an ever evolving studio, and eventually I want to get to the point where I actually have a physical studio.
I would
studio.
Love that. Oh my god.
My own space.
Imagine you didn't have to do this in your fucking house.
Yes. I want to create not only a podcast studio, man. I want to create just a creative space where people could just go and just, you know, this corner will be something.
You want something? I don't.
No.
Fuck that. I don't. I want a studio that is mine.
Yeah.
That. Oh, hey, can I rent some studio time and do a podcast? No.
No.
You can't. because I make enough money to not have to rent out my studio time, and I don't want you coming in and spilling coffee on my shit. I have nice shit that I care about, so go fuck yourself.
Well, then set like a little secondary studio for that.
No. I'm good. I want my own space. Yeah. I don't want to have to deal with a single other person's schedule. None of that.
Yeah.
No. I'm even wary of like working with people, like going in on a business with someone to get.
I'm super sketch about that.
Yeah. I would rather have you be my employee. I would rather pay you to do a certain job and then be able to fire you if I don't want to deal with you, or pay you more if I like you. Yeah. It's like, fuck all that. So if you have your own studio, I think unless the studio requires other people to be in it, which is a different story. If you have a music production studio and you.
No, like I rent this space out. You know, I shoot my own podcast, but there's also clients that come in here and shoot their own podcast. That's what I want.
That's I was doing that for a while too, and that was really, really fun. Mm-hmm. But it's just like,
yeah,
is it worth it?
The scheduling.
Is it worth it? Yeah. All the headache of it? No. It's like, it's just me here.
Yeah.
Like if I was paying.
If you had a crew, yeah.
If I had a crew, it'd be a totally different story.
For sure.
But I don't.
For sure.
Yeah. Wow, man.
But yeah, that's where I want to go with this, man. I want to eventually build it into a space where people could just create. You know, creative people could just come in and just create.
That is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll get there.
Would you just have, it would be like a computer lab?
There. Yeah.
With like just a bunch of.
Yeah. If you want to edit, there'll be an editing station over there. If you want to shoot something, there'll be a couple cameras and a light over here. Nice. You know, there's a space like that in Orlando where like each room is a different set. Like they have like a hospital. A bed or a hospital room in one of the rooms. Then they have like an interrogation room in another. And it's like this whole warehouse full of different rooms that are themed differently.
I love that.
Yeah. For people to come in and, okay, I want to shoot a scene in here. I want to shoot a scene in there. And it's all self-contained.
Wow.
That's what I want.
That's what I want.
But I want to do it here in Tampa.
Really, really cool.
Yeah. That one's in Orlando. So
is it thriving business wise?
Yeah. Oh yeah. They just moved into a bigger place. So well, yeah, there's the market.
That's really, really cool.
Dude, and honestly, I've found that too with my clients and shoots, because they, I mean, obviously we're not going to shoot everything in here. So like I have to look for bigger places and stuff. And just, there's not a lot of that here in Florida, you know? And if there is, it's like in Miami or in Orlando, like the bigger cities and stuff. So it's
I listened to the podcast that you had with, what was his name? Chriso Youngin.
Yeah.
And you guys were talking about how big Tampa's getting, and it's so cool to see that. It's another 10-year thing for me, man. Yeah. I think that moving to Tampa now is like investing in Amazon in like 98.
Or
like,
we got in when we wanted to, or when we should have.
Exactly. Yeah. And as long as you're like doing something that is you feel good about doing, like whatever your art is, whatever your freedom is, as long as you're like doing that. And you're also figuring out a way to monetize it.
Yeah, that's important.
Yeah, it is. People think that it's not. And there's a good argument for it being not like, okay, you just want this to be your art and you have another form of income. Great. Make it your art.
Fantastic.
And just do that. You can give all your canvases away for free. Freaking whatever you want.
Yeah.
But I like money.
Yeah. And you still got to pay bills at the end of the day. So
like
you can't live on the street.
That's true, man. Yeah, figuring out how to monetize your shit
is
important. God, I keep on like moving away from this mic and it's just like,
That's all right. You want to see something cool?
Sure.
Alexa, turn on my blue box. I eventually want to put that in the back, like on a shelf or something behind me.
This is cool. Yeah. Listen to Thinking Outside the Blue Box podcast. Is that what it is? Thinking Outside the Blue Box. Think Outside. Fuck. Yeah. I literally said replay the podcast. Right. I wanted to make sure that I get it right. Think Outside the Blue Box podcast. This is cool.
Yeah, man. You're a character, man.
Thank you. I am Levi Graham Weinstein. I'm Graham Radio. Hire me to be your attorney.
There you go, man. Yeah, and for us, it's going to be the Blue Box Podcast. We're actually on Instagram and on TikTok as Blue Box Podcast. That's, again, where we're going to post some of the 60-second clips from the show. So if you don't have the full hour or whatever to listen to these podcasts, just head over there where there's consumable content there. We're going to post the videos, obviously, on YouTube. So if you want to head over there, youtube.blueboxdigital.com is where we're at. And obviously all the podcasting channels, like Spotify, Apple Music, or Apple Podcast, all those, the video we were discussing earlier, we're doing video on Spotify now through Anchor.
Awesome.
So
it's awesome.
Yeah. So when you sign up for Anchor, sign up with my link.
Watch Blue Box. Watch the Blue Box podcast.
And that's where we're going to end it.
Fantastic. It was a pleasure.
Thanks again for coming on, man. I appreciate it. We'll see you guys in the next episode. Thank you.